I always like it when I clear my throat because it makes everybody else clear their throat too. Last week we began a series called Adventure, in which we talked about the adventure that God calls us on and invites us to be a part of. Life can be dull enough without following God's call. When we follow God's call, He has a mission for us, and life opens up for us in a whole new way. We begin to see the stories of the Bible as adventures of one patriarch after another, one prophet after another, and we begin to see it as a continuing story from Genesis to Revelation, and we have a part in it. God calls us to be a part of His story, and we can live it out in our faithful living through Christ. Today I want to talk to you about baptism, because baptism is a very important part of our journey. For many people, they struggle with their faith, and once they come to believe, they want to be baptized, and they say, finally, it's done. I got baptized, and it's done. Like that was some key part of their salvation story, and now that they're saved, they're in like Flint, and they're done. But that is not the way we see it played out in Scripture, and that is not the way we hear God talking to us about baptism. Baptism is the beginning of our journey. In every case where we see baptism in the Scriptures, it is the beginning of a journey. Now, throughout Christian history, we've had lots of disagreement on the subject of baptism. Many faithful Christians have been killed over their arguments about whether to baptize infants or adults, whether we should sprinkle or pour or submerge. There's been all kinds of fighting and wrangling going on about it. And in fact, we often try to do things special. We want to do things special with baptism so that we all know just how important it is. Here at Kingswood, we have this beautiful font. And this beautiful, well, some people think it's an eagle, but it's really a dove. It's a great piece, and I love to baptize people in this font because it is so gorgeous. But you know what? We could baptize out of a Home Depot bucket, and it would work just as well. Can we all agree on that?
Amen.
But it's a beautiful bucket. I like to do things special with baptism. I baptize with water from the Jordan River. When I went to the Holy Land a few years ago, I brought back with me some water from the Jordan River that I captured myself, and I put it in two little containers in my suitcase, brought it back. And every time we have a baptism, I pour some water in there and baptize with Jordan River water. Isn't that special? When I left Allen Memorial United Methodist Church and came to Kingswood, I left one of those bottles there so that they could baptize with Jordan River water, and I brought one here with me. And the first time I baptized a child, I forgot to tell the altar guild that that wasn't just plain Atlanta City tap water. And they threw it down the sink, and it's somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico now. Meanwhile, back at Allen Memorial, I forgot to tell them what it was. They thought it was lamp oil, and they filled their candles with it and couldn't figure out why it wouldn't burn. So much for holy water. But it doesn't matter. It's just water. And I went online and bought some Jordan River water, and it was mailed to me, and I still use Jordan River water. That doesn't make baptisms here any more special than baptisms down the street when they fill their tank up with city tap water. It's okay. We're not going to fight and kill each other anymore over the specialness of the baptism. And in fact, I think it's kind of folly for us to try to do these things. I like to do it. I'm human. But it's not me doing the baptism. It's God doing the baptism. And what's really special is what's going on in a different plane. Talk about holy water. There was once a woman who was having a very difficult delivery. And her pastor, who was a female, came to be with her during that delivery because they knew that the child was in danger. And sure enough, the child only lived a few moments. And so there was a somber silence in the delivery room as they held the lifeless body of this little baby. And the mother said, "Can you baptize her for me?" And looking around, they could see no water. And so the pastor reached out her finger and brushed the cheek of the mother to scoop up just a few drops of tears, and baptized the child in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. My Jordan River water pales in comparison to the holiness. I can't think of any water more holy than the tears of a mother. And even that is not as special as what God does in that moment of baptism. When I baptize, I'm usually standing right down here, okay? And the family's up here, and I'm baptizing just like this. Well, you can't see it from where you are, but there's a light up here, and it's casting my shadow down here. When I do a baptism, I like to look at that shadow for just a moment because it reminds me of what's really going on. The baptism, the real baptism, is going on up here. That's just a shadow of the baptism. That's nothing real. That's just the play of light on the carpet. Even so, what's going on here is just a shadow of what's really going on in the spiritual plane. As God embraces that child and seals that child as His for eternity. And as we embrace that family and pledge to support that family in raising that child in the way he or she should go, those promises that we give, those commitments we make to one another, the promises that those parents make to that child, and God shadowing over the entire moment to bless that moment with His Spirit and seal that child with His love and His seal of adoption, is far more precious than Atlanta City water or Jordan River water or even a mother's tears. That is the sacredness of our baptism. Those of us who have been baptized can remember our baptism and be thankful. Now, if there's anything I want you to remember today, it is that your baptism is not the ending point of your spiritual journey, but only the beginning point. I have three stories I'd like to share with you. First of all, let's talk about Jesus' baptism. The last time I read the Bible, He didn't get baptized at the Last Supper. Right? He got baptized at the beginning of His ministry. And He went to John, who was baptizing a baptism of repentance. And John said, "No, Jesus, you don't need to repent. I'm not going to baptize you a baptism of repentance. If anything, you should be baptizing me." Now, I'm paraphrasing just a little bit here, but I think what Jesus said was, "John, you're my cousin, but just shut up, will you? I know what I'm doing, and I want you to baptize me." So John did something that I think would have made anyone uncomfortable. He baptized the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And he knew it. He knew it when he was doing it. But there's something very special about that. Number one, of course, it marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But secondly, it's marking kind of a great equalization. We're all equal under the water. It doesn't matter if you're a king or a pauper or even the Messiah. God calls us all to the waters of our baptism so that He can bless what we do. And sure enough, when Jesus was baptized, God blessed it with His own voice saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." And the Spirit came and rested upon Jesus so that His ministry was the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It can be just as much for you and me. Jesus took on a baptism of a mere mortal to lead us to the waters of baptism as well. And we're all equal under the water. It doesn't matter what kind of ceremonies or rituals we put into it as much as what God does. But that moment was the beginning of His ministry. And that moment was special because of what God did in that moment. second story. In the book of Acts, we see Philip traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. It was a wilderness road, full of fraught with danger. And as he was heading down to Gaza, coming in the opposite direction was an Ethiopian eunuch, reading from the Isaiah scroll. The Holy Spirit talked to Philip. Philip ran over to the chariot. They began a conversation about the Isaiah scroll and how Jesus was sent to fulfill those scriptures. And as they were traveling along, all of a sudden the eunuch looked over there and said, "Hey, look, there's some water over there. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Now that was a loaded question because there were lots of things to prevent him from being baptized. For one thing, he was unable to fulfill the ritual of becoming a Jew. He was unable to be circumcised. He was unclean and therefore unfit to have the baptism in the Jewish sense. But Philip's answer to him was, "Nothing is to prevent you, because the water is the great equalizer." My parents taught me about chemistry a little bit, so I like to think of it as the universal solvent. It washes away all the sins. And in that moment, Philip taught us once again that the baptism is the beginning of our ministry and the great equalizer, so that every single one of us have that available to us and we can become sealed by the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus was at the Jordan River. Now you look at Jesus and His ministry and consider all the wonderful things that happened after He was baptized, and you begin to realize that when we are sealed by the Spirit of God, God blesses the work of our hands and great things are accomplished. When you look at the Ethiopian eunuch, well, you know what? The book of Acts doesn't say anything more. It says that all of a sudden Philip disappeared. He just went in a flash. We don't know anything more about the Ethiopian that headed to Jerusalem to worship God and eventually made his way back to Ethiopia. We don't know what happened to him, but we do know this. To this day, Ethiopia is the most Christianized country in sub-Saharan Africa. 45 million Christians in the Orthodox Ethiopian Church. Another 17 in other denominations like the Roman Catholics. If you go to Jerusalem, to the most holy place in Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the whole church is split up into four or five different sections. You've got the Greek Orthodox section. You've got the Roman Catholic section. You've got the Coptic Church of Egypt. And you've got the Ethiopian Church. That's how old the Ethiopian Church is. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if that adventure began on a pool of water on the road to Gaza with a eunuch that no one else would claim but God claimed. God claimed by the waters of His baptism. Third story, also in the book of Acts. Peter is living at the home of Simon the Tanner on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, 50 miles away from the Jordan River, so I'm pretty sure he didn't use Jordan River water. But he had this vision of a sheet being lowered by its four corners, and inside the sheet were all manner of unclean animals. And the voice of God told him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "No, God, I'm kosher. I'm not going to do that." This was repeated three times. And as he was mulling over this vision that he had, servants from the house of Cornelius, who lived in Caesarea, just a few miles away, came looking for Simon Peter. "Simon Peter, our master has asked us to return you to his house." Peter understood the vision, went to see Cornelius, and he preached the gospel to a household full of Gentiles. and I'd like to read to you what he had to say. I'm reading from the 10th chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. You know the message He sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all." He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. We are witnesses to all that He did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put Him to death by hanging Him on a tree. But God raised Him on the third day and allowed Him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. So here is Peter speaking to a house full of Gentiles, a house that he would never have gone into just a day before because it would have made him unclean, and he wanted to be a righteous Jewish man. But God spoke to him, and He said, "By the powers of baptism, we are all equal. We're going to throw away all of these other distinctions." And Peter, when he was speaking to the house of Cornelius, he said, "I remember Jesus' baptism, and I remember how it filled him with great power and such works of wonder that he did. And he baptized that whole household of Gentiles. And it became the beginning of their journey as well." Because baptism is never the end. It's always just the beginning of great things. Imagine what has happened to the Gentile world since Peter began to baptize there. What a journey they've had. And can't we be grateful for that, because most of us are Gentiles as well. The Christian faith exploded beyond its embryonic Jewish world into all of the other worlds, so that we could be part of the fellowship of God. This is what baptism does for us. It's what it did for Jesus. It's what it did for the Ethiopian eunuch. It's what it did for Cornelius and all of his family. And we are invited to take part of that as well. 2014 is just beginning, and we all have a great adventure ahead of us as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, as we take up our cross and follow Him, as we grow in our faith and learn more about it. I encourage every single one of you to find a small group that you can grow in your faith with, to learn to serve God and all of the riches that come from that. This week, as you know, has been a week of great work for the trustees. They've been working all hours of the day as we've been dealing with this flood. And to the person, every time I talk to them, they say, "You know, this has really been kind of a growing experience for me. It's not a burden. It enriches my faith to serve the church in this way." That's the way it's supposed to be. And you're invited to be a part of that as well. Remember your baptism. Be thankful. Remember the baptisms of all the people who've gone before you and the adventures that they have gone on, and realize that you're next in line. Your adventure is just beginning. Perhaps some of you were baptized decades ago, and it's time to get back on that path and to resume the adventure that Jesus has in store for you. Whatever your situation, remember it and be thankful. Follow the path that Jesus leads you on. And let's enjoy the adventure together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.